So good morning. I'm Dan Carlson. I'm one of the elders here at Grand Rapids E-Free Church. And everybody before me has said it, but we genuinely are glad that you're here this morning. We just welcome you, and it's such a blessing to have you here this morning. So I'm an elder here at church. Last month, I celebrated kind of an important milestone in my life. It's 20 years ago, on June 13th, that I quit doing drugs, I quit drinking. And that wasn't the big thing in my life. The big thing in my life was that particular day, that very day, God came into my life in a big way. And, you know, you read the passage in the Bible about the quiet whisper in the desert. This wasn't one of those. This was your grandma grabbing you by the ear and saying, "Come here." God grabbed a hold of me, and I've been pursuing him the rest of my life. Some of the things I learned in that journey prior to 20 years ago, what I pursued in life was my own happiness. I pursued drugs, alcohol, parties, just self-centeredness all the way around. I had divorce. I had broken relationships with my kids. My life was full of pain and suffering. Kind of turns out that for me, living my best life led to ruin. God's plan has led to peace and fulfillment. So I want you to know that, because I'm not up here because I'm a pastor. I'm not trained in this. I'm not a theologian. I haven't formally studied the Bible. I'm just a guy who loves God, and I want to share this message with you. So today we're going to be looking at Matthew 13, 1 through 23. That's the parable of the sower and the seed. When Pastor Micah told me that this was the verse that he wanted me to preach on, I thought, I am going to be everybody's hero. This is going to be a 15-minute sermon. You guys are going to be out of here in no time. I mean, think about this. This is one of the most well-known parables in the Bible, and Jesus himself explains what it means. So how tough can this be, right? So I started writing my sermon out. I started digging into this, and I got to that middle section of this, and we'll talk about it a little bit more later, but I got to that part, and I started digging into controversy, and I started really digging into this. And the next thing you know, I went from, this is going to be a 15-minute sermon, I'm calling up lefties, getting a tent, and we're going to have a good old-fashioned revival. Well, hopefully we'll land someplace in between those two. I was really stuck in all of that controversy that can come with this verse. And I ran into a friend, and the friend was wearing a T-shirt that just caught my attention. And the T-shirt said, "Hold on, let me overthink this." That kind of got me off my bubble. So last week, Pastor Micah talked about Matthew chapter 12, and in that, he asked us a question. He asked, do we see Christ as our Lord and our Savior? Do we have that balance? Do we see him as both things in our life? And for me, and I think a lot of you in here today can relate to this, that I saw him as the Lord. I saw him as lording over me, and I knew in my heart of hearts that I was a big disappointment to him. Now, that was totally a lie from the devil, but that's what I knew in my heart. I knew that I was a big disappointment to Christ, and that I was bound for hell, and there was nothing that I could personally do about it. And that's how I lived my life, that I was going to hell, and that was it. My heart was incredibly hard. And by God's grace and by his grace alone, my heart is softer now. It's much more fertile. So as we go into the verse for today, I want to ask two questions of you. What type of soil is your heart right now? And the second question is, how does that interfere with my relationship with Christ? So we're thinking about those two things as we go through this. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you. Lord, you are amazing beyond our understanding, Father. We just adore you, Lord. Father, we are all sinners here, and we confess our sin before you. Father, it's only by your grace that we are saved. And we thank you, Lord, for giving us that grace. Father, today I pray for those among us whose hearts are hard. They've turned their heart hard towards you, or the folks that are weak in their faith, easily distracted by the things of this world. Lord, most of all, though, I want to thank you for those among us whose hearts are fertile soil and have been willing to follow your call. Thank you for those men and women among us, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. So if you'd open your Bibles with me to Matthew 13, 1, we'll jump into this. So thinking back on Matthew 12, while you're getting your Bibles open, you know, Jesus is going around, he's healing, he's teaching, and there's this crowd following him. When I read Matthew 12, I tend to think of there's a crowd of followers. Well, it wasn't exactly that. There were a lot of people following him that just really strongly opposed everything that he was saying. There were Pharisees, there were a lot of people that were against him. And he was speaking openly. He wasn't putting any kind of veil over what he was saying. So we get to chapter 13, and there's this shift, right? Chapter 13, he shifts to teaching in parables. And it's really noticeable. It's so noticeable, the disciples ask him about it. Like, so what's going on, Lord? Why the parables? So let's take a look at Matthew 13, 1 through 9. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, but they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up. But since they had no depth of soil, when the sun rose, they were scorched. Verse 5. Other seeds fell on rocky ground. They did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up. Since they had no depth of soil, when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. So this very last statement opens up this whole can of worms. What does Jesus mean by he who has ears, let him hear? We're all born with ears, every single one of us. So this opens that controversy to, did God predestine some of us to be saved, or did he give us all free will to choose him? Now, one of the things about this is, here at Grand Rapids E-Free Church, and part of the Evangelical Free Church of America, we don't have to decide that. Our denomination has a motto of major on the major and minor on the minors. In other words, things that are debatable, things that we don't understand about God, we can debate them all day long, but we are still a faith family. That doesn't separate us. So I'm going to dig into this a little bit. And I want you to know as we do this, this is not the important part of this passage. But, you know, are we selected by God, or did he give us free will to choose? And there's so many things about God that we are just simply not able to understand. But let's read this next section. So take a look at Matthew 13, 10 through 15. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them.'" So it's hard to really understand for me exactly what Christ is telling us here. But again, there's so many things about God that we are just incapable of understanding. Raise your hand if you've ever owned a Labrador Retriever. So picture that black lab. You sit her down and you have this discussion and you explain to her how a carburetor works. And she is so happy that you're there and talking to her. She doesn't understand a thing about what you're saying. Sometimes I feel like that's God and me, and I'm just that happy black lab. I'm so glad to be in his presence. You know, this thing has been debated for over 500 years, and it's not been solved. On the one side, you've got Calvinists who point out God's omnipotence and that he's eternal, and therefore we are predestined. On the other side, you've got the Wesleyan, Arminian theologists who point out God's infinite mercy and love. And of course, he gave us free will, right? I want to read a quote from Charles Spurgeon, one of the greatest pastors of our time, at least. So here's from Charles Spurgeon. "There's a great deal of truth in the positive side of both systems, and a great deal of error in the negative side of both systems. If I were asked, 'Why is a man damned?' I should answer as an Arminian answers, 'He destroys himself.' I should not dare to lay man's ruin at the door of divine sovereignty. On the other hand, if I were asked, 'Why is a man saved?' I could only give the Calvinist answer. He is saved through the sovereign grace of God and not at all of himself." And so when I think about my walk with Christ, there was none of that that was me. It was all God. But God waited until I was ready to say yes. And so, which is it? I don't know. I don't care. I have peace with that. I know that God is in my life and making big changes every single week in my life, and I just love him. So let's kind of move on to an important verse that kind of ties back to that discussion. Let's take a look at just simply Matthew 13, 16, and 17. "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Listen to that again. Listen to verse 16. "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your eyes, for they hear." Folks, Jesus is speaking to us right there in that passage. He's speaking to us really clearly through his word. You know, if you go back and take a look at Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be open. And it's only by God's grace that my eyes are open and my ears can hear. Amen. So we get that out of the way. Now we're not going to have a tent revival. Now we can get on to what I really want to talk to you about. So let's move on as Jesus explains the parable of the sower and the seeds. So as we look at these verses, keep this in mind. Keep in mind that the seed is the word of God. The word of God is being spread. The seed is the love of Christ. Those two are one and the same. They're being spread. And the soil are the hearers of the word. They're you and I. They're our hearts as we accept that. So let's read Matthew 13. We're going to go 13, 18 through 23. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. And for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. So, to me, as I read this passage, and from what I've experienced in my life, these are types of people, but they're also points in time in what I've experienced. I've been all four types of these soil at one point or another in my life. And my goal is obviously to be that last type of soil, that fertile soil, but it's a struggle. I have to keep working to stay there. Now there's many, many folks here, many men and women that are that fertile soil, and they've poured the love of Christ into me. They've poured their love into me. They've poured their love into all of us, and we owe them a great debt. I'm very thankful for those folks. But that's not all of us. So let's take a look at the four types of soil. So the first is the well-worn path. Matthew 7:13 talks about, you know, the wide gate and the narrow gate. This is that wide gate. This is most people in the world. You know, I'm speaking from experience, but if you're here today and you didn't come here to really hear a message or to be blessed, if your life has never been changed by the word, if worship or reading the word has never brought a tear to your eye, then you're really not here to worship God. You're part of that first group. That's where you're at right here, right now. And I've been there. Like I said, by God's grace, I didn't stay there. So when we think about the world around us, and we think about back to that verse about the wide gate and the narrow gate, most of the world lives on this path. This is a well-worn path. There's a lot of people going down this path. So Matthew 10:14 says, "And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town." He said that when he was sending the disciples out to make disciples, to preach in towns and cities. And he's talking about places where You can talk all you want. You can spread the word as much as you want, but it's not falling on fertile ground. And that image of shaking the dust off your feet, that was big in those days. To take your sandal off and whack it on a tree and shake that dust off was sending a strong message. I believe Christ was talking about this first type of soil when he said that to his disciples. You know, you can spread your seed there, and some of it is going to fall in little nooks and crannies where it's going to sprout, but for the most part, you're kind of wasting your time. So this first type of soil is still people that we want to love up on, still people that we want to minister to, because frankly, we're not God, and we cannot see the souls of other men and women. We don't know where they're at, and they might appear to be there, but we still need to minister, and we still need to love up on them. So the second type of soil, the rocky soil. If you're here, you know, your heart is tender towards God. But just underneath that, there is solid bedrock. You know, there's this, think of it as armor. You have got this shield underneath that first layer of soil that you don't want anyone to get in. You don't want God to get in. You're protecting your heart. You're afraid of what might happen if God touches your heart. Now, I know there's folks in this category here today, and I know that there's certain times when you're in the middle of worship that it just touches your heart. I know that sometimes the message sounds like it's meant for you. But what happens is that seed, that little bit of a seed, starts to take root, and it hits that bedrock. And it just can't go any farther. That plant, your life in Christ can't grow as long as that barrier, that coat of armor is there protecting that growth from going any deeper. Now, Reed and I were up to Gooseberry Falls, took a ride on the bike last week. And if any of you have been there, you're walking around and you're seeing these mostly cedar trees growing up out of this sheer, craggy bedrock, right? So even in this state, in that rocky soil, seeds can grow and do grow. But I bet if you took one of those cedars, cut it off and counted those rings, it spent a lot of hard years trying to grow in that rocky soil. So this is not where we want to be. The other thing about this soil, what Christ is talking about when we're in this stage, oh, I'm a Christian, you know, I love God. And immediately when somebody opposes me and scoffs at my faith, I wither away, I back off. And not only do I back off, I join them. I have no strength in my faith whatsoever. I'm rooted in rocky soil. So this third type, Jesus referred to it as the soil with thorns. I like to think of it as living life in the weeds. And I've spent a lot of my life right there, just living amongst the weeds, trying to survive, trying to get a little bit of sunlight, and it's a hard life. And honestly, I think most of us here today spend a lot of our life right there, living among the weeds. In other words, we love God. The Bible gets straight to our heart, and we understand. But you know what? The bills are piling up, and the kids are needing stuff, and the car needs tires, and all of this stuff coming at us. Not to mention all the controversies in today's current world and all of the stuff going on gets in our head, gets in our heart, and chokes out that word of God. And I just want to encourage you that God's promise to us is peace. In all of the insanity of the world, all of the busyness, all of the craziness that, that we're trying to deal with, God wants to bring us peace. And so often we feel like we're all we can do is just do enough to be a good person, and you know, trying to develop that relationship with Christ is difficult because where am I going to find that time? You know, God will provide it. God will definitely provide that time in your life to spend time with Him, be with Him, cherish with Him, grow your relationship with Him. And that's life in the weeds. It's a struggle. And, you know, it's hard not to default back to living in the weeds. So this last type of soil, this is good, fertile soil. This is soil that in my garden that I've worked this soil long and hard. I've fortified it. I've got that load of really good rotten manure, and I've just poured it into this soil, right? I'll tell you what, this fertile soil, I absolutely love these men and women. And as I look around, I'm getting kind of choked up because we just made eye contact. But there are folks in this room who are absolutely here, live here. And like I said earlier, they pour our love into us, and they pour God's love into us. They pour their love into us. And they have honestly changed my life through their selfless love. If you are one of those people, thank you. And may God bless you mightily. For the rest of us that are struggling to stay out of the weeds, let's aspire to be that fertile soil. Let's really try to live our life there. You know, if you're fertile soil, you read this parable and you understand that this whole parable is about the Great Commission. This parable is about making disciples of all of the nations. When Jesus talks about to those who have, more will be given, He's not talking motorcycles and hot rods. He's not talking a big old garage bigger than your house. He's talking about spreading the word. He's talking about spreading that seed. The folks that their hearts are open, their hearts are soft and receptive to Christ, they become strong plants. And what does a strong plant do? It produces seed. It drops seed all around it. It in itself turns and sows a lot of seed. Love for Christ pours out into the lives of others from people that are fertile soil. And again, I just thank you, Lord, for the fertile soil that's among us here this morning. So I want to kind of wrap this up. I want you to know that God does change hearts. Think back on Matthew 7, 7 and 8. All we need to do is ask. If you're in this room, if you're online in the sound of my voice, God has spoke to you in Matthew 13, 16 when He said, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." You know, I've personally experienced that needing to reach out to God and say, "Yes, Father, I accept you." And I've seen what He can do in a very broken, messed up life. He longs for a relationship with each and every one of us. And His love for us is infinite. None of us can understand infinite. If you've done some college math, you can put it on paper, but you can't understand it. He gave His word for us to hear. Everything in this Bible is for us. We have ears to hear it. So he can change the soil in our hearts into something beautiful. And all that he requires is that we have the will to love him and to follow him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you, Lord. We praise you for your good and perfect garden. We praise you, Father, for the rich, fertile soil that you have created in the hearts of those that love you. And Father, we confess right here and now that we often love the things of this world more than we love you, and we demonstrate that by letting all of those things consume our lives and having precious few minutes to spare for you. Lord, we thank you for your love. Oh, Father, thank you for your patience with us. And Father, thank you for your persistence in pursuing us. Lord, we just ask you to make our hearts that fertile soil. Thank you, Father. Amen. Let me pray over you. Father, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear. Work in us, Lord, to turn our hearts to you each day. Help us to fight out the worries of the world. Help us to just keep our eyes focused on you. Lord, thank you for your promise that all we need to do is ask and it will be given to us. Thank you, Lord. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you all. Amen. If you are here today and needing prayer, come on up. I'll be up in front. We'll have some elders up here willing to pray with you. It's our pleasure to do that. So go in peace. Have a great day. Amen. Thank you.